My friend, do you have a hard heart? Let's look at another beautiful passage in the Word of God today. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine mercy this moment for the declaration of thy word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our scripture is in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and we're reading the story that follows the feeding of the 5,000. So we pick up the story in the 44th verse of this chapter. It says, "And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship, and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and says unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." So my message today is on the hard heart. Let's get into the story. In the beginning of the story, we find two pictures, two locations. Jesus in a mountain praying, the disciples on the sea toiling. Now, my friends, there is no progress without toiling. The problem with most people is that they are not willing to toil. And you don't get anywhere unless you toil. There are two kinds of toiling that we see here in this passage. The one is a spiritual toiling. Jesus was toiling in the mountain, spiritually speaking. He was toiling in prayer. The disciples were toiling, physically speaking, to cross the lake. Both spiritual and physical toiling are necessary for us to get somewhere in life. Without toiling, there is no gain. Now, the disciples up to now knew little of the importance of spiritual toiling, and at the root of being rebuked by Jesus was not that they lacked in physical toiling, but they lacked in spiritual toiling. If you go through the Gospels, you can find Jesus toiling in prayer over and over again. But show me a place, my friends, where the disciples were toiling spiritually, where you see them in prayer. Can you find me 10 passages of that, or 5, or 3? Or can you even find one passage where the disciples were toiling in prayer as their master did? Oh, friends, if the disciples would have been toiling spiritually as frequently and as honestly as Jesus did, we would not have the record of them having failed twice just in this one chapter of Mark 6. First, they failed in feeding 5,000 men, which Jesus asked them to do. And secondly, they toiled by not taking care of the storm, which was giving them trouble in the midst of the sea. Let me ask you, are you doing any better than those disciples? Are you a spiritual toiler, or are you neglectful in this area? Jesus will do more and more through you and for you as the years go by if you get into the habit of spiritual toiling. None of us will get to the divinely ordained purpose that we came into the world for unless we give ourselves to spiritual toiling with the same regularity and earnestness and sincerity as we give ourselves to physical toiling. Now, let's go back to find out how the lack of spiritual toiling had hardened the hearts of these disciples. Beginning with the 7th verse of this chapter, everything started out great for these disciples, because in the 7th verse it says, "And he," that is Jesus, "called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits." So he sent them out. He sent them out to preach the gospel of repentance, to heal the sick, to cast out devils. This is the first time that Jesus, as the record goes, separated himself from his disciples and said, "I'll give you authority. Now do what I've been doing all along." Oh, what a tremendous day that was. Jesus said, well, what I've been doing, now you will be doing. You'll be healing the sick. You'll be casting out devils. And you'll be preaching the gospel just as I did. So these disciples went out and they came back very excited, overjoyed. But my friends, I'm afraid that while they were doing what Jesus did in these three areas, the preaching of the gospel, the healing of the sick, the casting out devils, there was a fourth area where they fell short of what Jesus did. And this is that they did not give themselves to prayer while they were doing these things. They did not give themselves to spiritual toiling. Jesus never left spiritual toiling in all his ministry. While he was going about doing good, no matter how busy he was, he always found a solitary place in which to pray. And that, my friend, was missing with these 12 as they were going out. So whenever we go and minister for Jesus and we are not going into a mountain to pray anymore, then, my friend, our quote success unquote soon leads to a wrong attitude, a wrong spirit, a wrong perspective as miracle workers, and then our great success in ministry, because of a lack of inner spiritual toiling, leads to a dangerous exuberance and to pride, and may lead us to become addicted to miracles and to shift away from Jesus, from happiness about Jesus, from happiness about salvation, to being happy about the works of God. We become more happy about what God is doing than about God himself. And so, when the disciples came back from their first missionary journey, they expressed the happiness about everything that was done, but they lost the happiness about their salvation. Don't, Jesus said, be happy about what you've done. I don't want you to be happy about those miracles. I don't want you to get excited about casting out demons. I don't want you to get carried away by the fact that you were preaching the gospel, but I want you to get excited about this, that your names are written in the book of life. Dear ones, how many Christians are there today in the world who only shout when they see a miracle or when the devils are cast out, but who will not express any joy on a regular basis, day to day, who will not shout simply over the fact that their names are written in the book of life, who've lost their appreciation of the greatness of this great salvation which was purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb? Oh, we need to be thankful for all the miracles of God, but it is his salvation that's got to top the list for our joy. Don't you ever forget, the scripture does not say that miracles are the author and finisher of our faith, but Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Remember, the greatest man, by Jesus' own admission, was not a man who did miracles or cast out devils, but the greatest man, by Jesus' own words, was a man who never did a miracle, and his name is John the Baptist, because he had a knowledge and an intimacy and a revelation of Jesus which was greater than anybody else had at that time on the face of the earth. And yes, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, getting back to our story, after the disciples had crossed the lake, following the feeding of the 5,000, they were rebuked by Jesus for their hard hearts. Jesus wanted them to find themselves, so he attested them, and he said, "Now I want you to feed those 5,000 people." And because they had not prayed, they had not been in the habit of spiritual toiling, they simply were unable to do it. They lacked the faith to do it. Had they been in prayer as frequently, as earnestly as Jesus was, when Jesus told them to feed the 5,000, they would have said, "Lord, if you ask us to do such a thing, you will give us grace to get it done. Yes, my friend, they still had problems. Still. But that all changed on the day of Pentecost, didn't it? So, because you see, after Pentecost, they went to pray, like Jesus prayed. They, through Jesus, then did great and mighty miracles, but they had not caught on to prayer at this point, and so they looked at their resources instead of God's resources, and they failed. By prayerlessness, the hearts became hardened. If you are not strong in prayer, you have a hard heart, and God cannot do much with you. Now, in the evening of that day, Jesus sent the multitudes away. He sent his disciples to cross the lake in a ship, and he goes to the mountain to pray. And then, I mean, Jesus was toiling in the mountain in prayer, because it says that in the fourth watch, Jesus took a walk out on the Sea of Galilee. The fourth watch is between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. So Jesus had been praying all night into the early morning hours before he took his walk on the Sea of Galilee. And there in the middle of that sea, there were these disciples who had been toiling all night, long into the early morning hours, because the winds were contrary and they were totally exhausted. Again, our Lord was disappointed in his disciples. They had allowed themselves to be in a raging storm all night long, when they simply could have prayed in that ship and called on the Lord God, the Creator, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Hosts to still the storm. Oh, my friend, let me ask you, how long will you stay in the storm that you are in now? How long will you go on with your troubles, in your troubles, until you finally begin to realize that you can pray and ask God to help you? I hope you can see the importance and blessing and the power that is in prayer. Their hearts were hardened, so they more readily tried to solve problems in their own strength than by the strength of God. So between 3 and 6 in the morning, Jesus is walking on the water, on the waves, and the Bible says it was as if he was going to pass by his disciples, because what he had in mind is he wanted them to finally come to the point in that boat, after hours and hours of desperate rowing, useless rowing, helpless rowing, to cry out and say, "Jesus, help us!" That's what he was looking for as he was passing by the boat. Well, as the story goes, they finally saw him in the dark, and he appeared to be like a ghost, and all of them, my friend, began to cry out. I don't know what there was in the cry, but I'm sure of one thing. There was within that cry something like, "Help us, Lord, or we perish." And then when Jesus heard that cry that he'd been waiting for, he stepped into the boat. And as his feet touched the bottom of the ship, the wind laid itself down to sleep, and the sea became calm. It is then that Jesus said of these disciples that their hearts were hardened, because they considered not the loaves, the miracles of the loaves and fishes. They had seen this great miracle of the power of God that could be wrought out by prayer, and they learned nothing. They learned absolutely nothing from it. So, have you been perhaps in church for all your life and really learned nothing? May this be the day when you give yourselves to spiritual toiling and to an intimacy with Jesus, that you will begin to learn the secrets of the power of God working in you and through you to bless others. So your physical toiling is important, but begin this very day also to become a spiritual toiler. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now, until next week.